Thanks for listening to audio from North Monroe. To learn more about who we are, visit northmonroe.com or download the North Monroe app in the App Store or on Google Play. Now, here's this week's message.
It was the presidential campaign of 1988, George Bush versus Michael Dukakis. And as every election seems like, it was intense. And you know, you would think that all eyes would be on that, but there was a kind of a healthy little distraction going on at the same time. They were upstaged by two other names. Bonnet and Crossbeak were two Californian whales who had been stuck in Alaska. Winter had come early, and the ice started to form around them, and they didn't have enough room to breathe and to make it all the way out to the ocean. And so at first, a couple of Eskimos discovered them, and they said, we're going to do something about this. So they got their chainsaws out and whatever kind of ice tools you need. And they started gouging holes in the ice and making their way towards the coast. But they realized that their efforts were going to be, minimal and not enough to save these whales. Luckily, at the same time, the media caught their attention of this project and jumped on it. They began to call it Operation Breakthrough. And before long, they showed up with help in the form of an Archimedean screw tractor, which is a pretty neat little piece of equipment that we're going to try to rent this week and drive around, see how much mud it can go through here in Louisiana, right? It was in ice up there. And so it's I looked it up. It's kind of crazy. I mean, it literally has, like, instead of tires, it's got this, threads on it, and it moves across. So they're breaking the ice with this thing and making some headway. But then they realize that's not going to be enough. They still got a long ways to go. So the National Guard shows up. They've got these sky crane helicopters with 5-ton blocks of concrete, and they're dropping them from the sky and busting holes in this ice. And they're doing so that the whales can have room to breathe and to continue to move, right? Before long, the Soviets arrive, and they have this huge icebreaker ship. So they're plowing their way through it. And all of these efforts together, they begin to make some headway. On the Soviet ship, there were two flags that were flying, the Stars and Stripes and the Hammer and Sickle. So the world is united around this effort to save two Californian whales who'd gotten stuck in the ice in Alaska, all during a presidential election. Can you imagine that? And it finally happened. Point Barrow, Alaska. They were able to free the whales. The world cheered. We all celebrated. We were all united at that time as the whales were set free. And as Chuck Swindoll was recounting this story, he made this observation about our lives as believers, as Christians. He said, when it comes to providing personal freedom so others can breathe and enjoy an ocean of possibilities, we're not nearly so cooperative. We'll free the whales, but not one another. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is our freedom in Christ. And we're going to find it in Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Galatians 5. We've been walking through the book of Romans together, right? We've got to chapter 6. It's awesome. We found our freedom in the grace. You remember what we talked about last week? As sin increases, grace increases. Does that mean I can sin more so that grace is even more abounding in our lives? And the answer is absolutely not. That's not the response of grace, right? It makes sense logically in our minds, but that's not the response that happens when we're people of grace, when it actually begins to take root into our lives. That's what Paul says in Romans. We're changed. We don't serve sin anymore. At the same time we're doing Romans, we've been studying Galatians on Wednesday nights with the class. And so it really goes parallel. The book of Romans and the book of Galatians, obviously written by the same guy. He makes a lot of the same points in both of these letters. Romans is way more in detail, covers a lot more doctrinal stuff. Galatians deals with a specific problem that was going on in the church there. That problem was that the gospel that Paul taught, he left with them. And then as Paul moved on to other areas, another group came in behind him and began to teach what he says, a different gospel, as if there was a different gospel, but there's not. And that gospel was that you must not only just live in grace, you must also follow the law. That's what these Jewish believers were teaching, had swept in and began to teach that. Swindoll calls these guys grace killers. They want to kill the grace that we all need to live in. Grace killers don't want people to be free in Christ. They want to enforce strict regulations that keep people from doing things that they need to do. And they just want to do, they want them to do what they want them to do. And remember, this is all going back to a justification issue that we've dealt with in Romans. They're dealing with the same thing. Actually, what they were teaching was, in order to be justified, you must first become Jewish or follow the law. And for justification, now remember, justification is not that at all. It is a free gift given to us. It is, we are justified because of Jesus Christ and Him paying the penalty on the cross for us and covering our sins in that. It's a free gift. It's not earned. It's imparted as a free gift. So to try to do something to earn our justification is against the grace that is offered to us. And that was a huge problem. Not only did it cut into the grace, but it took away from the freedom that they had in that grace. And so Paul's like, we're dealing with this. And I'm going to, if you read Galatians, you need to read it in an angry voice, because that's how Paul's writing it. He is not happy with these guys. He gets to chapter 5 and he points out this. Turn there with me. Chapter 5, verse 1. He says, for freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Stand firm in that freedom. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm. Don't budge off of that. Don't let anybody move you off of that. Because it's so important to live as free people in Christ. What does that mean? Does freedom mean that we live with no restriction? You see, that was their struggle. These Jewish believers that had come in, that was their struggle. They said, okay, these Gentiles are now experiencing the same blessing of God that I'm experiencing, but they're doing so without having any kind of rules or regulations. So what do you think that's going to turn out to look like, right? They're just free people. They're going to be Christians and whatever they were before, living in their pagan lifestyle. That was their fear. Does freedom mean living with no restrictions? I don't think so. See, here's the deal. I can hop in my truck right now and drive anywhere I want to in the country. I'm free to do that, right? Anywhere I want to, as long as you stay in your lane and you drive close to the speed limit, right? Somewhere in that range of whatever the speed limit is. And you're free to do that. No, you're supposed to drive the speed limit. Come on. I know all y'all do. Think about this. If you go to Chick-fil-A, you're free to get whatever you want to on the menu. But it's Sunday, so you can't go to Chick-fil-A. They're not open, right? And say you want a hamburger. You're not getting that at Chick-fil-A, right? But can you imagine if they did make hamburgers? I mean, would there be anything else we needed, right? No, this is a picture of, look, think back with me to the beginning, Genesis, Adam and Eve in the garden, right? They were free, totally free in the garden, and they were with God. God had provided everything that they needed. They were with Him. That is the picture of total fulfillment in life. Adam and Eve were fulfilled. And He said what? The one thing, what he really said is, you don't want that tree. Don't go to that tree because you don't want that. I'm telling you, you don't want to know what's behind that tree when you participate in or you partake in that. Of course, we know they ran to it. But they had total freedom. And they ran to it, but they did not carry the responsibility. See, I think freedom doesn't necessarily come with restriction, but it does come with responsibility. Restriction has to do with, I have to do this in order to be this, right? Really, I'm looking out for me. If I'm looking at it as a restriction, I'm looking out for myself. I don't want to get myself in trouble. I want to continue on. But if I think of it as a responsibility, it turns to, I need to do this. Or maybe I should do this. And really, I'm not necessarily just looking for myself, but I'm looking out for the whole, for everybody. I want everybody to benefit from this. That's responsibility. So looking back at our freedom in Christ, What does that look like? Well, he's already explained. If you were in chapter 5, just make a note. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But in Galatians 1, verse 4, he says this about Jesus Christ. He said, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. And the key word there is to rescue us from this present evil age. Jesus Christ rescued us. See, before Christ, that means we were held captive. And he came and pulled us out of that, not into anything else other than freedom. And he set us free. So before Christ, we were held captive, and he came and set us free. He rescued us. He gave himself for our sins so that we would be rescued, to rescue us from this present evil age. So we don't have to follow the same patterns of this world. We don't have to operate the same as we did before. We're rescued from that. We're set free. This kind of freedom is one that allows you to live in such a way that brings glory and honor to the one who rescued you. That's why he says in Colossians 3:17, he says this, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, that's kind of freedom. Whatever you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. That's the only responsibility that comes with it, that you do it in his name. That's the freedom he's talking about. Freedom means we have no more debt to pay. Remember, he gave himself for our sins. And we have no more performance to give because we've been rescued from that. He set us free in that. We're free. And here's the kicker. If I'm free, so is everybody else in Christ. So whatever rules or regulations I think, you know, X, Y, you must do this in order to get to Jesus. I can't lay that burden on anybody else. I've got to encourage people towards the same freedom that I myself experience in Christ. Anyone who comes to Jesus by grace through faith experiences the same freedom I have. When they mess up, and this is the good news, when they mess up and when I mess up, we don't all start over and have to be re-rescued again, right? That's all been paid for. So we run to him. We repent, absolutely. But we don't have to be rescued again. We all are still free. So Paul says back in 5:1, for freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Because you were free and rescued from that stuff, you don't go back into it. Nobody who's been set free would want to go back into indebtedness and captivity like that. Why? Why is this important? Because here, listen to me on this. Our freedom in Christ is probably one of the brightest lights that the world can see. It's a bright light in the dark world, especially right now. The world needs to remember, apart from Christ, we're held captive. We're still in darkness. And if I'm in darkness and I'm tired of darkness and I see light like this freedom, what we're talking about, if I see that in somebody else, I'm drawn to that. So if we don't celebrate and live in this freedom that comes from grace, the world is not going to see it. We want to try to put ourselves back into it. Why? We're the ones that suffer. Yeah, we suffer, but the world is also suffering because of that. That's why he says, jump down with me to verse 13, chapter 5. It says, you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. We're called to this. Called. What does that mean? Why is he highlighting called there? Why is this so important? It's because the calling is coming from God. We're called to be free. That word calling is kaleo. It's kind of a fun word. We used to use it. I did student ministry for like a year. And, you know, we had to, every time we wanted to do a cool event, we'd call it, you got to give it a cool name, right? Kaleo, we came up with that one. Came from the Bible. It's because nobody would show up if it didn't have a cool name, right? So y'all come to kaleo and had to figure out what that meant. And so anyways, we would use this word, and really, I don't think we realized it at the time. It means to call out or to yell out, really, like in the just what Jesus did here. As he rescued us, he is calling us out of that captivity into freedom. with himself, out of the darkness into the light. It's as though, you know, it's kind of like Red Rover, right? Red Rover, send whatever her name is over. And that's calling out. That is the calling we're talking about here. But our calling is to be enlisted for an important task, and that's to proclaim the good news in all the earth. That's to proclaim freedom, to set free the ones in captivity. That's our first calling. It's really, we receive that calling at salvation. God called us to himself. He saved us, and we proclaim that same calling to other people. Under salvation is our freedom, and God's grace has offered us that freedom. And he says, remember, you were called to be free. You see, and remember that. When God calls us, he's calling us out. So I don't stay where I am. When he calls, I got to move to that voice, right? I got to go to where he is. The standard changes. We go from captivity to freedom. We go from, having to make it on our own to we're free. He raises that standard. He calls us out of the bondage of sin and into freedom in himself. Now look back at Galatians 1:6. Here's what he says. You're called in the grace of Christ. He changed the word there. Why did he do that? Are we called to freedom or are we called to grace? Well, it's both of them. Why is he doing that? Because grace and freedom go together. They go hand in hand. The more grace I live in, the more freedom I live in. Okay? The more grace I give to others, the more free I live. When I have grace to allow others to live free, I live free. I saw this quote this week from Shelley Giglio. She said this, "The more aware I become of the grace I continually need, the less offended I am by others who are still working life out." I thought that's exactly the point. That's it. I don't have to worry so much about the one who's not got it all together just yet, because I'm living in the same grace they are. He said this, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." Oh, here we go. Here's our warning. The opportunity for the flesh. Here's their deal. The guys that came in behind him, we talked about those just a minute ago. They were teaching, you gotta follow the law to be saved. Come on, man, you gotta follow the law. Why were they teaching that? Because they were afraid that too much freedom given to people would give an opportunity for the flesh, and so they would begin to not only try to live as God's people, but they would also live in their fleshly desires, which he's going to cover in the last part of chapter 5. But Paul's saying here, and he said, let me be clear about this. Just because I'm proclaiming freedom in Christ doesn't mean I'm giving anybody the opportunity to gratify the desires of the flesh. Your freedom, if used wrongly, can be a distraction from Jesus. If you think you got enough Jesus, yeah, I'm good. I come on Sundays and I'm good, but it doesn't affect the rest of your life. Monday through Saturday, I'm living for me. Sunday morning, I'm with Jesus and I'm good. If that's enough, people are confused about that. Because grace changes your life, and free people don't live like captives anymore. We're free. So when you've experienced grace in your life, you don't use your freedom as a way to please the flesh. That phrase is also used in other places to refer to a abuse of power by a ranking officer, one who has abused his power. So you've been given this beautiful privilege of freedom in Christ, and you use that for yourself. It's an abuse of power there. And this is what stirred the Jews up. The Gentiles were experiencing the same blessing, but they were doing it by grace. Instead of being changed by law, which would never happen, they were changed by grace, and that was confusing to them, to the Jewish people. They thought they won't change. They're still going to be the same all, but they did, because grace changes us. He said, and they decided this at the Jerusalem Council, Acts chapter 15. It was all set. The leaders of the church met. And they said, what are we going to do about this? Are we going to lay this burden on people or not? And when they met together, they decided, no, absolutely not. Nobody in Christ needs this burden anymore. They are free people, and we're going to live as free people. So back to Galatians 5:13, you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. This is the kicker on this one too. Serve one another through love. Freedom frees me to serve others. That's what you're free to do. There's something powerful that happens when I serve other people. Really, is more than me changing somebody's situation by serving them, I am changed. I can't think of how many times I've taken trips with, whether it was college students or just in the church, where we would go and serve somebody. And we think, man, we're going to bring the gospel to this area and it's going to change. It's going to, you know, begin from there and make the whole life, the whole community is going to be changed. And we get there and realize maybe they weren't necessarily the ones that needing changed as much as I was, right? About halfway through the week, we start realizing, oh, I see what's going on here, God. You pulled a fast one on me. I'm starting to feel different about this because I'm serving people. I actually love them. And freedom frees me to serve others. And love is the key word in this. Because see, here's the equation. Freedom plus love is going to translate into serving others every time. Freedom without love is going to translate into serving myself. It's going to be that opportunity for the flesh. If I have not love, this, he said the same thing in Corinthians. Remember 1 Corinthians 13, the famous chapter. If I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing, right? So we got to have in our freedom, we love other people and we serve other people. And then he points out, look at verse 14 with me. He said, the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Why is he saying, what's he talking about the whole law? Well, he's already set this up. If we read the whole letter of Galatians, we'd understand. He said, if you're going to follow one part of the law, you got to follow the whole thing or you get none of it, right? And so if you're going to fulfill the whole law, instead of trying to do the whole law, here's what you can do here. Here's one thing. You know, we want this. We want one. Just tell me one thing to do, okay? I just want one thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he's like, you talking about my neighbor? I got to love that neighbor? Yes, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, Jesus said the same thing, right? The great commandment. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law is fulfilled in this one. It just boils all the way down into this one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Help your neighbor have the same freedom that you have. So here's my question for you. Has your freedom in Christ translated into serving others and leading them into the same freedom, right? Has it done that for you? Or are we looking for opportunities for the flesh? Verse 15, he says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out. Watch out. Keep your head on a swivel here, or you will be consumed by one another. The picture here is wild animals on the carcass and just devouring it until there's nothing left, right? If we bite and devour one another, watch out. And if I'm consumed, if we're consumed with one another, what are we not concerned about? The world around us. If I'm worried about what you're doing and you're worried about what I'm doing, and all my attention is on that, I forget about everything around me, which is a lost and dying world, right? Self-serving freedom turns inward and begins to self-destruct, and the end result is freedom that has no love. And being consumed by one another means you have no time for anything else. And if we're not careful, this could just as easily become us. We'd become inward focused. The world around us is dying without Christ and we can't get over ourselves. Sadly, we've seen this in a lot of churches in our time. And if we're not careful, it'll become us. But here's the deal. The heart that has been set free by grace will love and serve others. That's it. If we're going to live in grace and be gracious towards other people, and we've been set free in that, it's going to translate into loving and serving other people. It's the only option. The heart that's been set free has, by grace, will love and serve others. This only happens when we totally surrender to Jesus Christ. Until then, remember, He is the one who rescued us. He is the one who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Until we come to that point, we are still in that present evil age. So we've got to totally surrender to Him. And maybe this morning He's calling you into freedom. He's calling out that you would come into freedom with Him. Is that you? That you? I can tell you, I'm a satisfied customer. We say that a lot. I'm satisfied. This freedom is great. It's great. If that's you, I want you to pray with me here in just a second. I'm going to pray. We're all going to be praying together. I want you to pray with me. And we're going to call out to Him. All right, let's pray. Father, we come before You and are thankful for the freedom that You give us in Christ Jesus, that You rescued us. And we no longer have to pay any debt back. We no longer have to do anything but live in the grace and freedom that You've already offered. And so I pray for the one here this morning who does not know that freedom yet, that as You are calling out to them in this moment, they would totally surrender and experience a freedom like no other. And for all of us who struggle with grace and freedom and maybe serving others is hard, I pray that we would find that that through love and in realizing the grace that You've already poured out upon us, we can do this. We can walk in Your freedom and love others and serve others. And I pray that the world around us would see that and be drawn to it, that You'd begin to change hearts and lives in that. And so, Father, we surrender to it right now. And we want to follow You in that. Thank You for the freedom that You've given us. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our hope is that this message has encouraged you to seek Christ in your own life and make Him known wherever you are. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.